question that I have reflected on over and over and over again since that time. And he said, if time, money, and energy were not an issue, what would you be doing for the Lord? And I thought, wow. Because that's always our thing. It's like, well, if I had enough time, or if I had enough money, or if I had, you know, we have these ifs, but God has unlimited funds. God has unlimited time. God has unlimited energy, and he has the ability to give those things to us. And I reflected on that. I thought, well, what would I be doing if it weren't for having to get up every day and go to a job and having to do all the things that you do as a wife and a mom and a teacher and trying to pay the bills. And all of a sudden you realize how consumed you are by life and how not consumed you are by the things God's called you to do. And as I reflected on that, I thought, you know, I know God's called me to teach his word and to do what I'm doing today. But yet, I had a job to go to and I had all that. Well, the job ended suddenly one day. I was walking out from work, tripped on a sidewalk, landed on my head, and life changed immediately that day. I ended up with a traumatic brain injury that has tremendously impacted my life. And I'm like, okay, God, I can no longer read. How can I preach your word? And he's like, you know my word. You've learned it since you were a baby. You know my word. And you can listen to it online and you can do those things. You know, and I'm like, well, God, how can I do the things you've called me to do without the funds? Because suddenly I went from a job where I was making six figures to workman's comp, which we won't talk about. And it's like, okay, when you take a $10,000 a month pay cut, how do you then do that? And it's like, well, you trust God for the funds. And I can tell you story after story after story after story of money coming in that was unexpected. The most recent one was I felt like God was telling me to go to this training that is in Florida. When I calculated out about how much it was going to cost, it was about $3,000, which I don't have $3,000 sitting in a checking account waiting to be spent. I'm like, okay, God, you know, I really believe you told me to go to this. If I'm supposed to go to this, you need to bring in the funds. Less than an hour later, I went and logged on my bank account to pay some bills, and there's $3,100 more in my bank account than what there was prior to me saying, God, bring in the funds. Well, I had been waiting for some money to come in for months and months and months and thinking, okay, I'm not sure it's going to come in, and it came in that day. And when I paid for the plane ticket and the hotel fee and all that, it came to $3,100. So I'm like, okay, God, I'm starting to get the picture here that funds are not a problem for you and time and energy are not a problem for you. They're just a problem because we make it a problem. So anyway, that's what we're going to talk about today. So we're going to start in Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1, 4 through 10. And I want to give a little bit of background. Jeremiah is a young man at this point. He's probably 17 to 20 years old. He's living in a time that's a little bit tumultuous because they now have a king that's wanting to serve God, and he's cleaning up the place, and it's not going over real well with certain people. And he's living in a tumultuous time, and God calls him to be a prophet. God calls Jeremiah to be a prophet. And so that's where we're going to start. It says, the word of the Lord came to me saying, me being Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. So think about that. Each and every one of us, before we were ever born, God knew us and he set us apart. He knew what he created us for. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. And as I don't have enough money, I don't have enough energy, I don't have enough time. He's like, I'm too young. I can't go be a prophet to this nation. I'm 17, 18 years old. But the Lord said, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, and I will secure you, or I will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. And when I read this, I was thinking, you know, God did have a plan and a purpose for each one of us before he ever even created us. You're not here by accident. You're not here on this earth aimless. God had a plan and a purpose for each one of you and for me, and my son is calling. he must have forgotten what was going on today. Anyway, he created each of us with a purpose and a plan. And I really want that to sink in, because throughout our life as we're growing up, we have things that happen. We have people who tell us otherwise. We have people that tell us that we're here by accident or that God isn't a part of us. But he made each one of you with a purpose. He made me with a purpose. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, for we are God's handiwork. Think about that. We are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So again, this is not happenstance. We were created for a purpose. We were created, and we're God's creation. Each and every one of us in this room is God's creation. He knew us before we were born. He had a plan from the beginning, and he chose us. He chose each and every one of us. Not just the pastor, not just the ones who have a prophetic gifting, not just the ones who can sing. He chose each and every person in this room and created you for a purpose. And that's what I want you to get a hold of today is, each person here has a purpose. Each person here has a reason for being here, not only in Cambria, but on this earth. It's like when my husband and I first started attending here many, many years ago, close to 25 years ago, we moved to Cambria because God told us to go to this church. We didn't move to Cambria and then start attending this church. We actually were living in Templeton, and my husband worked here, and I worked over in Paso Robles. And when we got married, he went to one church, and I went to another. And we were praying, you know, which church were we supposed to go to? And, of course, we were giving God two options. He had a third. And he spoke to my husband and said, go visit Cambria Vineyard. Okay, we knew a couple people, but didn't really have any reason to think that we would be going to church in Cambria because we lived in Templeton. And that was my argument for going to my church. It was closest to our home. And we came and we sat down and we looked at each other and went, this is where we're supposed to be attending church. And he's like, yeah, I know. This is where we're supposed to go to church. And God bless all of those who stood up and tried to make it happen that day. But it was probably the worst church service I'd ever been in. The pastor had been in a bicycle, he knows this, we've talked. The pastor had been in a bicycle accident the day before, and members of the congregation threw together a service, and it ended up being kind of one of those open mic where the person you really hope doesn't go up and grab the mic got a hold of the mic really early on, and it went kind of downhill from there. And we're both sitting there going, really, this is where we're supposed to go, huh? Okay, we'll try it next week. Hope it's better. You know? But we both walked out that day going, we're supposed to go to Cambria Vineyard. This is where we're supposed to attend. So we started commuting, and it didn't take long before it was clear that we were supposed to move here, and we lived here for 5 years, and then God moved us. But in that 5 years, I met many of you that are in this room, but God really did some things both in Mike and I and built some relationships that are obviously long-lasting. I'm back here today. But God had a plan and a purpose. And we took the time to seek him for that plan and purpose, and he spoke to us. And like I said, it was nothing. It wasn't like we came and went, oh my gosh, this is the best church, you know, let's go there. It was literally the worst church service I've ever been in. But we knew that we knew that we knew that this was supposed to be our home church for that season. And that is what today is about, is seeking God and finding out what is that thing that he wants you to be doing? What is that thing that he created you for and wants for you? In Psalm 37, 3 through 5, it says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord and trust in him. And again, it's that if you take those things that God's called you to do and you commit them to him and you trust him with them, he's going to open those doors. He's going to bring in the finances. He's going to give you the time. He's going to give you the things you need in order to fulfill that call. But we have to be seeking him, but we also have to be trusting him. We have to trust him for the finances. We have to trust him for opening the doors and making it so that we can do the things he's called us to do and fulfill that call he has on us, because every one of us has a call. In Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And that one's key, because when we lean on our own understanding, things don't add up. They don't make sense. God's economy is not our economy. God's timing is not our timing. Lord only knows I've tried to get him to do my timing, and he doesn't do things that way. Because his timing is perfect. Usually afterwards, I look back and go, oh, yeah, if he'd have done that when I wanted, yeah, that wouldn't have worked out. You know. But at the time, it's like, really? We're still waiting on this? You know. But his timing is perfect. His economy is different than our economy. I had a situation in January. Many of you know my husband passed away in January. And I was still grappling with where are we at financially, because Mike handled all our finances. I didn't care to. I didn't want to know anything about them. I just want to know that if I need to quit spending, let me know. Otherwise, I'm just going to go do my thing. And that's about the extent of what I knew about our finances. I didn't know any of the passwords into our accounts. I didn't know anything. And all of a sudden, I'm sitting there going, I have no idea other than to go to the bank, put my ATM card in and see what the balance is, where we're at financially. I don't know what bills are being paid automatically, what I'm going to have to write checks for. I mean, it was about a month of craziness. But in that time, God said for me to give some money to somebody. And I'm thinking, I don't even know where our finances are at. I don't, you know, that could make a difference as to whether I can, you know, if something's getting pulled out automatically next week and I take that money out, you know, I didn't know where things were at. And I'm like, well, God told me to do it, so I'm going to do it. And within, I would say probably 10 minutes, somebody came knocking on my door and gave me a check for 10 times the amount that I had given and said, I was just driving along and the Lord told me I was supposed to give you this money. And handed me a check for literally exactly 10 times the amount that I had given. That's God's economy. That's not our economy. Because my economy was, I'm not spending a penny until I can figure out all the bills and where they get paid and who pays them and what I mean, I was in this tailspin trying to figure all this out. And God's like, no, go give them some money. And I'm like, okay. But that's God's economy. And God's economy is different than ours. So when he tells us to do something, it's taking that step of faith to say, he wouldn't have told me to do it if he wasn't going to make that work. And I've got story after story after story. I won't tell them all to you, but I could go on. In Jeremiah 29:11, so we're back to Jeremiah. Jeremiah says, "For I know the plans," the Lord says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So as we're looking at what has God called us to do, what has God said that we're to move forward and do for him, we need to understand he's not going to harm us. His plans for us are perfect. His plans for us are to prosper us and to give us hope and to give us a future. So back to my original question. If time, money, and energy were not an issue, because again, they're not for God, what would you see yourself doing for the Lord? So I want you to think about that for a few minutes. I just want you to sit there. And if you don't know the answer to that, I want you to spend time this week really seeking God and saying, Lord, what is it that you created me for? What is the purpose that you made me for? Because he made us specifically for a purpose. There's not a person in this room that God doesn't have a reason that he created you. There's not a person in this room that God does not have a plan for your future. And if you're sitting there thinking, oh, well, I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too busy, I'm too whatever, that's not okay, you know, because that's not what God says. That's not God's way of doing things. And as I was preparing for this, two nights ago, I had a dream, and I knew when I woke up it was a prophetic dream. And I thought, God, what does this mean? And he showed me. And what the dream was, is I was in the back part of my house and I heard a baby crying out in my living room. And I have, my youngest is 17, so babies crying in my house is not something that we hear. And I heard a baby crying in the living room. So I went out there and my friend's baby is sitting in the middle of the floor. She had dropped him off, hadn't told me he was there. And she'd gone off to do whatever she felt was necessary and had left this little baby there. And I thought, what is going on? Why did she abandon this baby? I knew he had been abandoned. And I'm thinking, okay. And so I pick him up and I go to feed him and I'm trying to comfort him. And he's taken a bottle, but he's upset. And so I go track her down and I said, What is going on? Why did you just drop him off like that? Why did you abandon him like that? And she said, I'm just too busy to take care of him, and I knew you would do it. And I thought, and I said, well, but God didn't give me that baby. He gave you that baby. And I had this discussion with her in the dream. I'm like, he gave that baby to you. He's your responsibility. And the rest of this life that you're trying to figure out here, that is not letting you care for your child, you need to figure out, because you can't just say somebody else will take care of this baby that God gave you and expect to just go on with everything else. And so I'm having this, so I woke up from the dream and I was pretty shook from it. And I'm like, okay, God, what were you saying there? And he said, that baby is the gifts and the calling that I've given you. It's the calls that I have on your life. And I thought, wow, okay, that is about today. That is about, God has given you each a baby to care for. He's given you a call. He's given you a purpose. He's given you something to do. And I had another scripture, but I'm not seeing it in my notes, where it's in Romans, and it talks about whatever it is God has given you to do, whether it's to prophesy, or whether it's to serve others, or whether it's to do whatever, do it. You know, it's kind of the just do it slogan that Nike has. Whatever it is God's called you to do, just start doing it, and seeking God, and stepping forward, and moving forward with what God's called you to do, because each person in this room, God has a purpose for. You were created for a purpose. And Yeah, it's up there. For some reason, didn't print out in my notes. This is, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So if one of us doesn't do our part, it hinders everybody else. We all have different gifts according to the grace God given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patience in affliction, faithful in prayer. And that is really what God has called us to do as a body, and called you as a body to come together and do. So what I would like is for, if Clint and Amy could join me, and Mary and Kathy and Rick and Susan, if you guys could come up here, I want to open it up. So if anybody wants prayer this morning and wants to have God either show them what they're doing or repent of not moving forward, or to be able to say, God, you know, recommit to, you gave me this dream long ago, and I want to begin to pursue it. Anyway, I wanted to have some people up here to pray with you this morning. So, yeah.
Well, are you done?
Go ahead.
Before I interrupted, all service I've been seeing coal.
Okay.
Oh, great! Now it's official. All service I've seen a piece of coal that God is putting on people's lips.
Mm-hmm. Purifying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That goes along with this scripture. And so many of us have things to share with our neighbors and loved ones, mm-hmm. but God wants to impart power to you with the coal, that your words are going to be His words.
Mm-hmm. So, go ahead. I was going to say, as the worship team comes up, but you guys are on it, so awesome. We're, and they start.